You guys don't know what's available till.
All right. Make sure I get my stuff together here. Okay, perfect. Ready to go, Steve? All right, this is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're going to go ahead and start an informal on case number PU646, 12th floor of the Capitol. It's October 24th. It is approximately just a little after 2 o'clock. The purpose of the informal today is we've had received a request for amended certificate for a wind farm that we issued back earlier this year. The company has a variety of changes they've made, and we'll certainly go through those. But with that, I'd open it up to Commissioner Fetch, if you have any comments.
Not really. This kind of goes along with the one we just heard from what I've seen. So very similar. Looking forward to hearing any testimony on this one.
Thank you. If we could go around the room and take appearances. Start with Mr. Biela.
My name is Brian Biela, with the law firm of Crowley, Fleck, and Bismarck, representing Wilton Wind 4, LLC. Along with me is Scott Scoville, who is an employee of NextEra Energy Resources.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Grumman.
Mark Grumman, legal counsel, North Dakota Public Service Commission. To my left is Jerry Lean, engineer with the North Dakota Public Service Commission.
All right. Thank you very much. With that, I'll turn it over to the company.
Thank you, commissioners. Our first witness is Scott Scoville. Scott, would you please state your name and business address?
Good afternoon. My name is Scott Scoville. I'm the Director of Wind Development for NextEra Energy Resources. My business address is 700 Universe Boulevard, Juneau Beach, Florida.
And Scott, what is your position with Wilton Wind 4?
I am the project manager of Wilton Wind 4.
And Scott, on February 15, 2012, Wilton Wind 4 did receive a certificate of site compatibility, energy conversion facility number 26, and this certificate approved the Wilton 4 Wind Energy Center, consisting of up to 66 1.6 megawatt wind turbine generators and associated facilities in Burley County. Then on September 19, 2012, Wilton Wind 4 filed an application for an amendment of certificate of site compatibility. Would you please describe the reasons for the application for the amendment to the site certificate?
Originally, Wilton Wind 4 proposed to construct a project with a generating capacity of 99 megawatts, consisting of up to 66 1.6 megawatt turbines and the associated facility. Now Wilton Wind 4 desires to use a different wind turbine technology for the project. There are two types of turbines being considered. Both these turbines are more efficient and have a larger rotor diameter of up to 100 meters, which requires a slight adjustment in the spacing for the turbines to meet the manufacturer's specs for Burley County, Croft, and Glynn Township setback requirements.
And Scott, what turbine options is the company considering?
The first option we are considering is a GE 1.6 megawatt turbine with a larger rotor diameter from 80 meters to 100 meters. And the second option is a GE 1.7 XLE megawatt turbine with a 100 meter rotor diameter.
And just to put that in terms of feet, that's from 271 feet to 328 feet. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
And as a result of this change in turbine technology, have the setback requirements changed?
Yes, the setback requirements are based upon a 1.1 times the turbine height, would change from 440 feet to 469 feet, and the setbacks requirements based on 1.1 times the turbine height plus 75 feet would change from 515 feet to 544 feet.
And those are based upon Burley County or Township setback requirements?
Yes.
Scott, showing you what is identified Exhibit 1. Is this a map depicting the changes in the turbine array?
Yes.
And we would offer Exhibit 1.
Thank you. Received.
Scott, showing you what has been identified in Exhibit 2. Is this a chart which depicts the distances certain turbines have to be moved due to the new turbine technology and the change in distance to the nearest receptor?
Yes.
And do these changes in turbine location still comply with Public Service Commission, Burley County, Croft, and Jalin Township setback requirements and standards?
Yes, it does.
We would offer Exhibit 2.
Thank you. Received as well.
And Scott, is Wilton Wind 4 requesting an amendment to Site Certificate Number 26 in order to accommodate the minor changes in certain turbine locations which are needed to utilize the new turbine technology?
Yes.
We have no further questions of this witness.
Okay. On Exhibit 1, the red line outlines, is that, I can't remember, this is all still considered the same wind farm? And did we ever have some discussion about not including the part where there's no turbines? Am I confusing this with something else? Because there's no turbines in that.
Is Wilton 1, 2, or 3, or Burley?
Our existing assets are in there. The Baldwin.
The one we're talking about today, is it which one of these is it? Is it the northeast part of it, or is it the whole thing?
It's two. It's one project, two townships. We consider it all the same.
Okay, I thought it must have been a different one where we ended up changing the size of the project because there's no wind turbines, obviously, in the middle part, but they're still connected. I guess it's just semantics.
There actually are. They're just not on.
The center section of the project, what you see here,
right,
is our existing Wilton, what we call the Wilton 1, Wilton 2, and then the Baldwin wind facility that we sited in 2010 with you.
No, I remember. Okay, thank you. Okay.
All right. Had a big footprint, then once it got micro.
We brought it down.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, thank you. That was just my own clarification. So what was the closest distance to a turbine to a non-participating landowner? I know you said it complies with everything, but we'll ask that question right now.
I think Anne-Marie is prepared.
Anne's going to cover that one? Okay.
Can you answer that, Anne-Marie?
Yes. For Wilton 4, the closest non-participating occupied, you want me to give the name of the landowner or just,
no,
the,
just
distance?
The distance?
I didn't
fine.
Think we gave the names. Just the distance is it's the receptor that is closest to turbine number 54, and it is a distance of 1,774 feet.
Thank you. I didn't have any further questions.
Scott, what makes a 100-foot diameter more efficient than an 82.5-foot diameter if it still generates 1.6 megawatts? Is it just that it can start at a slower wind speed?
Start at a lower wind speed and operate at a different. There's a different operating characteristic across the power curve. To capture.
You lost me at wind speed, but I assume that was sort of what makes it more efficient.
I struggle with how
I said it too. It's not making any more power.
No, how can you have a bigger generator? It's just the ability. I think it's the characteristics of that turbine to capture a wider spectrum of the wind range.
That's kind of what I think.
Increase its efficiency then.
Capacity factor is, yes. This is the biggest leap in the industry we've seen is the ability to use that 100-meter turbine in the windier parts of the country.
Yeah.
In the higher wind regimes.
I suppose that is the challenge, huh? So like the other day when it was blowing 60 miles an hour, those 100-foot turbines would have been...
We shut off at 50. They shut off the 55 miles an hour is when they shut down for... Or they actually start feathering back. That's they feather back at that speed. So, yeah, there's... It's been a remarkable thing for the industry, what we're seeing now coming out, and the technology change.
Yeah, I believe it. I have nothing else.
Mr. Fitch?
Thanks.
Well, I guess, maybe should have even asked this in the other case, but along with what Commissioner Kramer was just asking, I was wondering as well, the major change then is due to the blade being longer. So that you say it captures more of the wind. And in the initial application, I see sound and flicker studies. What about those longer blades in terms of birds?
I'm going to let Anne Marie answer that. She's our environmental, but I'll let Anne Marie answer that.
Would you like me to answer that right now?
Yes, please, because apparently the turbines are themselves are higher and the blades are longer. What happens in terms of birds then? Is there more? What are you finding? It's apparently this is very, very new technology. What are you finding in terms of bird kill?
Well, so the turbine isn't necessarily higher, but since each blade is longer, it would the rotor swept area, so you know the whole space where the turbines are turning would be wider, so it would reach down lower and reach up higher. What we do is we've conducted avian surveys in the during spring and fall migration just to document what species are coming through the area, and we can look at that and based off of that know what species of birds are coming through. Are there endangered or federally or protected birds coming through the area? But we found that most of the that doesn't necessarily always correlate. We found that the best way to have an idea of bird mortality would be just from knowing what fatalities have occurred at other wind farms, you know, which birds are more susceptible. But what we do is we've looked at what birds fly at the height within that rotor swept area and based off of that discuss risk for various species of birds. And so for the wider turbines, we did go back and look at our data and reanalyze it with the wider swept area, and we did not really find a change in risk for the birds that we looked at, just that slightly wider area. The birds that we looked at, all the ones that would be susceptible to some mortalities, wouldn't have any sort of population-wide implications at these particular projects.
Okay. The requirements in terms of the protection for endangered species would not change at all, correct?
That's correct.
So for other species, am I to understand that you're saying the incidence of avian mortality is no higher from what you've seen? Or is it too new to know?
It may be too new to know. We think that because there's a wider rotor swept area, that's just a wider distance, it's a wider range for birds to be flying in. So you would have more birds flying in that area because it's a wider range. But when we looked at the data that we had from the birds that we had seen flying through this area, at those heights, we did not feel that even if there were some additional bird fatalities, we didn't feel that those species were susceptible to any sort of population-level impacts. Does that make sense, or should I try to explain it in a different way? We would anticipate possibly that there would be additional bird fatalities because you have a wider swept area, but we didn't feel like the species that we see coming through this area at that height would have impacts that would affect the population, high levels of bird mortality.
Okay, to put it a little more simply, more dead birds, but it isn't going to decimate the population?
From what we can see, that's correct. I mean, that is just speculation based on the wider rotor swept area. We have not seen any studies where someone would actually compare those two turbine types.
Anne-Marie, if I could, the initial project is NextEra participating in the habitat conservation plan with the Fish and Wildlife? My knowledge, recollection was they are, and that was most of as long as the company was participating in the Habitat Conservation Plan, the Fish and Wildlife Service was supportive of the initial project, if my memory is correct on that. And the same thing with the North Dakota Game and Fish. They all had their they all were in concurrence that the project would not hurt anything in the initial application.
For Wilton 4, that we are currently in the process of coordinating with the Fish and Wildlife Service. They are reviewing our biological assessment with regard to federally protected species, and so we have not yet obtained their concurrence on that, but we've been working with them and addressing their comments on that. For Oliver 3, there hasn't been any official consultation, but I know that and
isn't
maybe
Oliver
3
outside the corridor, though? Wasn't that the Whipping Crane corridor? This one is potentially in the corridor where Oliver 3.
They're both.
They are both?
So.
Okay.
I know that NextEra is participating in the the Great Plains HCP. I don't know if Scott or Alan could speak to that, but that's beyond just one or two projects. It's an effort related to all wind projects in that Whooping Crane corridor.
All right, thank you, Emily. Mr. Fetch?
Yeah, I just want some clarification. On Exhibit 2, do you have that in front of you, Anne-Marie? Or maybe, Scott, you can answer this, except it's her testimony. On that legend, what does the pink signify? Are those occupied residences?
No, those are, you're referring to the table, the change in distance to the nearest receptor?
Okay. Yeah.
The pink is, there's a legend at the bottom that should have printed there. It's the green is turbines that move between 1 and 50 feet. The yellow is turbines that move between 51 and 100 feet. And the pink is turbines that moved more than 100 feet.
I thought I recalled seeing a table that indicated which residences were occupied and which were not. Well, maybe I can't. Maybe I didn't see that earlier.
In the original filing, I think that's right. Usually that would be the case.
Okay. Commissioner Kalk asked you a question about I believe, what would be the closest turbine to an occupied residence, and you referred to turbine 54. On Exhibit 2, I can't tell, you know, if which ones are occupied and which ones are not. But if you have that in front of you, would you look at turbine 58?
Yes.
And that...
What I had...
Okay, go ahead.
You're correct. The one number 58 on this table is the closest to any receptor. What I had said previously was that turbine 54 was closest to a non-participating occupied receptor.
Okay, so what is turbine 58 then? Participating, non-participating, occupied, non-occupied, do you know?
Yes, that is... That is an occupied receptor, and I believe participating, but I can double check right now.
Okay, because that's 1,416 feet, so that's pretty close to the minimum allowed.
Correct.
Okay. I don't think, are there any less than that?
No, that number, 1,416.88 feet was the closest.
Okay, and you say that is an occupied participating residence.
I do need to double check that since it's not on this table. I'm going to look at another table that we have that has the occupied and unoccupied and participating and not participating.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Mr. Okay. Chairman. Thank you.
All right, so where are we at here? So, Scott, you're all done with what you're going to testify on?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Commissioner. All right. Carry on, Mr. Biela.
Thank you. Do you have the answer, Anne-Marie, by chance? Or?
Just give me a minute, and I will.
I guess maybe what my question, where I was going with that, you know, that brings them from that particular residence from 1481 feet to 1416 feet. I guess, was there any objection from that landowner?
Can you answer that?
Yeah, moves like this, I mean, they're 60, 70-foot moves. We would have not gone back to every, you know, we will go back to them eventually, but no, we have not, because we're still within our sighting guidelines at 1,400 feet, and we made the moves as minimal as possible to, you know, we made the moves as minimal as possible.
But you do have an easement for that.
We do have easements, yes, we do have easements with all these projects, and we, you know, we just believe that it's within our you know, part of the siting process is just to, you know, optimize the turbine and minimize the impact. So we believe we still met that, you know, optimize our turbine array, and while we're, you know, more importantly, minimize the impact of the landowners, and we, you know, we believe we're still within those guidelines.
So the question pending is whether that 1416 is a participating landowner.
Anne-Marie, if you need to take some time, can we just go through your testimony and then get the answer to that later?
Yeah, actually, I have it here. The one that was 530133 is an occupied, non-participating. And I had said they're closest to number turbine 54 with a distance of 1,774 feet. And the reason that that does not match up with this table is that this table was put together with the layout from July, and we have updated information after the turbines were micro-sited into the field from September. So some of these distances changed a little bit when they had to actually micro-site in the field. So the number that I provided previously was the latest is that receptor 530133 is the closest non-participating occupied receptor, and they are closest to turbine 54 instead of 58 at a distance of 1,774 feet. Some of the turbine numbers may have changed also between when we submitted this in September and when they micro-sited these turbines in the field. So if it would be helpful for the commissioners, we can revise this table that's Exhibit 2 with the current turbine layout.
Mr. Chairman, I would request that the company do provide the latest information because
absolutely,
this is not reflective of apparently what's happening now. So I would request that the company withdraw this exhibit and provide the current information, which we can then, you know, accept as Exhibit 2.
Jerry here. We had, oops, wait a minute. Never mind. This table was updated once before. Um, for this looks like the one that was filed 919 is an update that you handed out today, I think. So I think we're good on that. I'm a little confused, Anne-Marie. This table to me shows number 54 as being 4,110 feet away.
Right. I think that some of the turbines were renumbered after they micro-sited in the field, which is why I say that that it may be most clear for everyone if we resubmit this table with the latest turbine layout. This was submitted prior to the, you know, all of the micro-siting results in the field in September.
Well, I think just, I think for me personally, and I think Commissioner Fetch is saying that if we've got a case where something has changed, we've got a non-participating landowner that's at 1,416 feet, we want to verify that. And if that was the case before, we may have had a non-participating landowner at 1,480 feet. But I think we've got to get the right table so we can see where we're at.
Yes, sir. We can provide that.
And I don't think that, I'll go on Mr. Grumman's expertise here, I don't think that would be a problem if the company submits it to us in an informal setting.
Not at all.
And I wouldn't mind double-checking on that non-participant status on that turbine. It seems like I recall in a hearing that it was further away.
Yeah, because I think in a hearing, a non-participating, that would have caused some red flags to come up, maybe.
Yeah. Part we were dealing with the community was in the southeastern part of Croft Township. Those were when we had our hearings, those were the ones that caused, you know, we actually had to address a lot of concerns with in Croft Township. Those turbines have not moved. Those are in the same locations. It's turbines 34, 33, 32, 31. Those are the
look in the border of the boundary.
Those are the ones we've had to work with the most with the community on non-participating landowners, and those turbines have not moved.
Okay. Well, if we can get an updated table, that could answer all the questions we have right there.
Yeah, we'll do. Okay, Anne-Marie, we're going to move into your testimony.
Okay.
Please state your name and business address.
My name is Anne-Marie Grigger. I am employed by Tetra Tech, Inc. in Austin, Texas.
And what is your position with Tetra Tech?
I'm a project manager at Tetra Tech. I have 9 years of experience in environmental planning. I have prepared and secured environmental permits for energy-related facilities, coordinated and managed biological and cultural field surveys, and contributed to the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, documentation. I also manage siting studies, prepare environmental permits, and consult with local, state, and federal stakeholders in the development of wind energy projects.
And is the purpose of your testimony today to describe any environmental impacts associated with the change in turbine technology?
Yes, it is.
And what distances were certain turbines moved?
Comparing the new turbine layout to what was permitted by the Public Service Commission, all but five turbines moved less than 250 feet. Of the 64 originally proposed turbines, 21 turbines did not move. Excuse me, and of the 64 original proposed turbines, 21 turbines did not move, and the rest have shifted between 26 and 382 feet. One planned turbine was completely eliminated, and a new turbine location was added. One former alternate turbine location is now a planned turbine, and one former planned turbine is now an alternate, as shown in Exhibit 2.
And Anne-Marie, Wilton Wind 4 filed with the Public Service Commission revised tables with respect to exclusion and avoidance areas. Would you please describe any project impacts, just describing any changes from the previously filed data?
Yes. We calculated the project impacts using the same assumptions, and the project has approximately 10 acres of additional total impact, which is primarily due to an increase in length of access roads. With regard to exclusion areas, there is one additional turbine that would be located in Native Prairie, going from 10 turbines sited in Native Prairie previously to 11 turbines currently sited in Native Prairie. We surveyed the previously unsurveyed areas for cultural resources and wetlands in September 2012, and all new archaeological sites as well as wetlands will be avoided based on the project layout dated October 12th, 2012. There are two fewer turbines that would be located in prime farmland soils, from four previously to now two turbines. And there is a slight decrease in the acreage of farmland of statewide importance that would be disturbed, going from 13 acres to 12 acres. With regard to avoidance areas, there's no change, except I just wanted to note that we are currently preparing a Class 2 architecture or a Class 2 reconnaissance survey for standing structures, per SHPO's request. And at this time, there are none that would be recommended as potentially eligible for the National Register of Historic Places. With regard to selection criteria, the three criteria I wanted to mention are agricultural production and plant life. For those, there would be a slight increase in the permanent acreage from 116 to 123 acres that would be impacted. And also, as I previously mentioned, one additional turbine from 10 to 11 that would be sited in native prairie, and also the noise-sensitive land uses, which we will discuss next. The policy criteria would have no change.
Okay. And has a revised turbine layout been accepted by the SHPO?
We surveyed the previously unsurveyed areas for cultural resources in September 2012, so the report addendum is currently underway, as well as the Class 2 reconnaissance survey for standing structures. Both reports will be provided to the SHPO when complete, and we will provide a summary to the PSC as well as the SHPO concurrence upon receipt.
And have revised acoustic and shadow flicker assessments been completed?
Yes, both the acoustic and shadow flicker assessments were revised using the latest turbine layout dated September 20th, 2012, which consists of 58 proposed and 6 alternate GE 1.6 megawatt wind turbines with a rotor diameter of 328 feet or 100 meters, and an effective hub height of 262.5 feet or 80 meters above grade.
And Anne-Marie, what are the results of those assessments?
Two occupied receptors had expected shadow flicker impacts predicted for more than 30 hours per year at 36 hours, 23 minutes per year, and 31 hours, 8 minutes per year, respectively. One is a participating landowner and one is not. When including the existing turbines from the Wilton 1, Wilton 2, and Baldwin wind energy centers in the model, the predicted cumulative impacts were 4 occupied residences with predicted shadow flicker hours over 30 hours per year. The maximum predicted impact did not change at 36 hours and 23 minutes at that same receptor. As noted in the PSC order, while there are no established standards, the siting recommendation of the American Wind Energy Association is 30 to 40 hours per year. Therefore, these results fall within the acceptable range. With regard to the acoustic assessment, the project operational sound has been calculated and compared to relevant environmental noise guidelines. The acoustic modeling analysis indicated no potential exceedances of the EPA noise guideline for occupied receptors. The cumulative noise assessment was conducted analyzing the potential impacts of the Wilton 4 project in association with the adjacent existing Wilton 1, Wilton 2, and Baldwin wind energy centers. The results of the cumulative assessment show that there's a potential exceedance at one occupied receptor under maximum rotational wind speeds, under moderate downwind conditions, and potential exceedances at two additional occupied receptors under maximum rotational wind speeds under anomalous weather conditions. All of these receptors are participating landowners. These same receptors were identified as exceedances for those same operational conditions in the October 2011 acoustic assessment that we filed with the PSC previously. And the result of both of these assessments, the noise assessment and the shadow flicker assessment, will be filed with the PSC in the upcoming weeks once we finalize the reports.
And Anne-Marie, would there be any potential change if the 1.7 megawatt turbines were utilized?
If NextEra chooses to use the 1.7 megawatt turbines, no turbine moves would be required, so we don't expect any additional impacts related to the exclusion or avoidance areas. If the 1.7 megawatt turbines are chosen, we do not expect any additional shadow flicker impacts because those impacts are determined by the turbine location, hub height, and rotor diameter. With regard to the acoustic assessment, we would have to rerun the analysis if the decision is made to use the 1.7 megawatt turbine, and we would submit those results to the PSC.
Anne-Marie, just to clarify, the turbine location, hub height, and rotor diameter are the same for the 1.6 or 1.7. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Anne-Marie, in your opinion, if the Wilton Wind 4 project is constructed as set forth in the application for an amended certificate of site compatibility, along with the other materials filed with the PSC, will there be any significant long-term irreversible effects to the environment or cultural resources?
No.
That would conclude our testimony of Ms. Greger.
Thank you. I don't have any questions, Commissioner Perrin.
Neither. Very well done.
Commissioner Fetch?
Not at this time, thank you.
All right, perfect. Well, with that, we'll move over to staff. Jerry, do you want to go through your memo or have anything to offer, your remark?
It just lays out kind of a summary of the filings. I don't think there's much new in there. We'll be getting the shadow and the noise study results when the reports are ready.
I'm assuming that in Burley County there. I
had corrected that on the original. I just didn't redistribute the memo.
Okay. Good catch.
And I would have a question, though, and that was whether or not you were still looking at expanding the collector sub there. There was some mention of another 5 acres.
No, there's no at this time. There's no need for an additional 5 acres. We can fit the new facilities into the existing 5 acres.
Okay.
Engineers aren't happy, but they can fit.
So. With that, I don't see any problems with it at this point.
Okay. Jerry, when we were talking about that, I can't remember, the turbine that potentially is at 1,400 feet from a participating or non-participating landowner, do you recall that discussion in the hearing at all? Because it looks, I don't know, it's the red circle, the red line, everything inside that is a participating landowner, correct?
No.
No.
No?
Necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, if they have a turbine on their property,
they have to be
participating.
Absolutely.
This is coming.
But there'd be people that didn't get a turbine that are inside that area.
Okay. All right. Well, the company's agreed to submit an updated table too, and if you could just help watch that as that unfolds. We'll see.
We'll do that. Thank you.
I think the biggest discussion came over the non-participating was her barn.
Okay. Mr. Grumman, did you have anything?
Just two quick things. On one, Mr. Biella, would you stipulate if I offered Jerry Lean's memo into the record?
Yes, I would.
Okay. I offer Exhibit 3 then, Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much.
And then the second thing, and first off, I apologize because I know this is not an ADP or a rate hearing, but I'm intrigued by the capacity factor. It's my understanding the credit capacity from MISO is about 12%. With this increased efficiency in wind turbines, is there any company witnesses get testified whether or not MISO at some point in the near future may re-envision a higher accredited capacity for traditional interconnections?
I'm not prepared to answer that, but I will get back to you on that. That's interesting. I'm not familiar with that part of the aspect of it.
I appreciate it. I have nothing
I will get back to you.
No, just to follow through on that a little bit. Go ahead, Jerry.
Oh, sorry.
Can I ask... what kind of capacity factor you're seeing out of Wilton?
Mid-50s.
Mid-50s?
We're seeing mid-50s across the state.
Okay.
I mean, this is good for the consumer. This is good for the customer. These are benefits that flow right through the price.
That might be tied to Mr. Grumman's point, though, about a lot of times you'll hear 12% for wind, and when that was several hearings you've had, you've testified 50%, and we all asked the question, 50%, and you assure us that that's what's coming back. So that's quite a delta between what the industry is saying is accepted at the MISO level to what is happening on the ground.
Well, yeah. I mean, 50% capacity doesn't translate to 50% reliability, obviously.
Yep, no. Exactly. But it'd be interesting if you get that back in just another setting to that.
See what the accreditation levels are now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a time when it was about 8. I think originally it was about 8%.
All right, perfect.
Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Grumman?
Not for me, no.
Okay, any questions for colleagues?
No.
Members of the public?
Absolutely. With that, I don't believe we have any more testimony today from the company or our staff. We've got members of the public today that are in attendance that if they'd like to have anything in this informal setting about this particular case, they feel free to step forward to the mic. Absolutely.
Come forward here, please, and let's turn that on.
No.
Yeah, I guess so. Absolutely. If you just would like to look at the map for a few minutes before you have any questions, that would certainly be fine. We'll take a few minutes to do that. And then
it wasn't in your area. I was joking. It's in Jalynn Township. It's not in Croft. We got all this.
I represent Jalynn Township. I'm the chairman.
Yes, sir.
Sir, if you could just have a seat and just tell us who you are. And this, once again, it's an informal setting, so there's no swearing in or anything.
My name is David Coleman. I'm chairman of Jalynn Township Board.
Okay, thank you, David.
And we're the ones that are, offering a permit for them to build these turbines in Jalynn Township. And I guess the only questions I had at the time right now is where that particular turbine that's in question of being too close to a non-participating person, I guess the problem, some people have is that if it gets too close past what they presume that it's the correct distance to be, they're going to be, having problems with it. So, my question was, is this, you said that 54 was the tower?
Mr. Coleman, the way I understand it, initially the question was 54 was the closest, but upon Commissioner Fetch's further questioning, I believe, wasn't it turbine 58? In the northeast corner is the one that is still in question as to whether it's 1,416 feet and whether it's a participating or non-participating landowner, and the company has agreed to file an updated exhibit answering all those questions.
Oh, okay. And when will they be coming with that?
Well, we have until November 6th for a formal hearing to be requested. And
if there's a question, I'm sure the people that are the non-participating party would like to know, so that they could, if you're going to have another meeting on the 6th of November or whatever, or if there's a deadline, that they can offer their opinion on it,
Okay. For the company, how do you typically deal with the non-participating landowners? They've all been notified. Everyone in this area is aware the wind farm is under construction, I presume.
And we normally do community, we'll do community hearings and open hearings and discuss our layouts. And if the non-participating landowner has a concern, then we will work with them to address our concerns as best we can. And, these moves, like I said earlier, I still believe they're within the guidelines and of safety and impact. So what I will do is I will get with you specifically on each with names of where these turbines are at.
Yeah, well, they'd probably like to know if this is going to impact them, So since I'm kind of the go-between or the people they come to.
Keep you out of trouble. I will come see you on this.
And you still are going to propose the same amount of turbines, or more or less, or?
There's one more in Jilin.
One more in Jilin.
One more in Jilin.
And that's in a place where it won't cause any problems.
Correct.
Well, I guess that's all I can.
You raise an important point, though, and I think when I look at Mark, because November 6th comes and goes, the fact that the move is still within the guidelines doesn't absolve us of our responsibility to micro-site it. Am I right? And so in order for that to take place, you know, the satisfaction of the community is rather critical. So we don't, you know, so in other words, I think what I'm saying is make sure they have the information and plenty of time to comment or protest if that's what they decide to do.
Well, I can kind of, on your map here, you have two number 58s up in the very northeast corner of the project. And one is kind of in a tan color and one is in a blue color.
The way I understand that, Mr. Coleman, is that the 58 in the tan color was the original turbine location. The 58 in the blue is the updated turbine location.
It's the updated one?
So the blue would be the one that...
That would be helpful to me in case I have to explain to these people why it would be changed, you know. So
Mr. Scoville, can you get the information to Mr. Coleman prior to November 2nd, let's say, or as soon as possible? I mean, do you have it?
I'll have it the first part of next week.
Okay,
the latest.
Okay. But nothing that, if any individual, you know, if yourself or from the public requested a formal hearing, they have until November 6th to do that. Yeah. And we would do the same thing again with the law judge.
Well, it's just helpful to me to know if there's some big changes in it that affect non-participating landowners.
Well, and
you know, then they would want to, you know, have a chance to comment on it too, you know.
Before. And they want to know before November 7th.
Yeah, that's the problem. November 7th isn't very far away anymore.
No.
So.
And no, you know, so I, that's my only admonition.
I don't foresee any problems. It looks like there's just minor changes. I can talk with Scott afterwards here on the turbines, but, you know, of where they're moving. And I'm just assuming that... you know, you have like your tan circle here with a blue in it, and you're only moving it within that original circle the way it looks, very, very little bit. So
that was, yes, that's
was testified it was about a 60, 70 foot move.
Yeah, and that's about the average for Jilin and Croft both. Or?
I think there was a variety of, the company testified, a variety of changes in different locations, but that's the one that got closest to the 1,400-foot guideline that we'd like to follow.
Well, since I live out there, I kind of know where all the the occupied and non-occupied places are, so, you know, I can tell by the map whether it's going to affect anything or not. So.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
So now just to make sure I have this, Mr. Coleman, could you give me your address?
25751. 158th Street Northeast, Wilton, North Dakota.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Grumman, did you have any questions for the minister?
No.
Okay, thank you. I didn't ask you to.
I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Coleman. Is there any other members of the public that have anything they'd like to offer today in this informal hearing? Okay. Mr. Kramer, any closing comments?
No.
Mr. Fetch?
No, thank you. Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, with that, we'll
thank
go ahead and
much.
Close the informal on case number PU11646. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jerry, let me give you this back.